We've spent much time this year discussing the topics of Eben Ezer in the beginning in Hilchot Ishut, who may marry whom, Pisulei Rahal, those who may enter the Jewish community and those who must stay afar, whether we be discussing Mamzerim, Kohanim, Gerim, people who come and say, Yisrael Ani, someone who comes and says, I'm a Jew, whether or not he is believed or not, and the ramifications with respect to the various communities that have attempted to join or rejoin the Jewish people, such as the Falashim in Ethiopia, the Bnei Yisrael, Menashe, Ephraim of India, the Russians, the Spanish Maranos, I would say Sefarad, Kutim, Karaites, Shomronim, etc. We've spent much time discussing the major topics, and they are, Baruch Hashem, well addressed already. I noticed that there is one topic that, or a couple topics, as we will discuss this and the next one, that do not get enough attention, and I think I will show you how that is rightfully so. As significant as they may seem at first, they are in fact insignificant, as I hope to prove. And Yehi Rason, that the Torah should be a Melitz Yosher for us to remove the stain from the Shtar Yichus of Am Yisrael, specifically that of the Iranian community, the Persian community as a whole. The first topic is that of Chezkat Kihuna, the Persian Kohanim, their status as Kohanim, authenticity of their lineage as Kohanim, as I hope to discuss. And the next one is that of the Mashadis, the Jews of the city of Mashad, who converted to Islam and eventually made their way back. Meanwhile, they were Jews all along, but that is another shiur you can listen to as well. Our story begins in the Rabbanut office in Tel Aviv. A number of decades ago, a couple walks in and says, Rabbi, we want to get married. He is a Kohen. His father is a Kohen. And there's just one little problem. You know, she is the daughter of a non-Jew and a Jew. A non-Jewish father, a Jewish mother. L'chatchila, we do not let these people get married. It's a machloket rishonim. So b'di'avad, if they were already married, we would let them remain married. But we would not organize this wedding for them. It's machloket ha'acharonim, what to do, b'di'avad, if they're engaged already, not for now. They want to get married. On the books, we would not let them, to say the least. And they say, Rabbi, listen, you better let us get married. Because, listen, she's already 4 months pregnant. And also, if you don't allow us to get married, we're going to go to the Qadi, to the nearby mosque, and I'll be forced to get married there as a Muslim instead of as a Jew. Rabbi, do me a favor, let us get married. So the Beit Din in Tel Aviv sent the Sheila to Rav Ovadia. And Rav Ovadia wrote what is now a classic Teshuvah, printed in Chelek Zayin, of Yabia Omer, Eben Ezer Siman Tet, where he lays out the framework for many similar situations that have arisen in the past, since then, and in the future. He says basically three things. Number one, this guy has no chezkat kehuna. When someone comes and says, Kohen ani, you actually need to bring proof. You need to bring witnesses to testify to your status as a Kohen. You may accomplish shaviyah nafsheh chatichadi surah. You told us this is your state. You testified that this is your state. You must observe now the rules of that state. But for us to treat you in that manner as a Kohen and allow you to marry somebody whom you're supposed to, and disallow you from marrying someone whom you may not, that it takes on a different status. So you are claiming to be a Kohen. We can't let you get married to this gerush, this woman, Bat Nochri. But the thing is, he didn't have a cheskat kehuna. He never acted like a Kohen. They never did nisiyat kapayim, birkat kohanim. He never got an aliyah. Certainly never got tiruma. Didn't write his name in such a way that he was testifying he was a Kohen. He just... Hey, I'm a Kohen. That's why my father told me we're Kohanim. But he didn't even go to Shul in Yom Kippur, whether it be in Eretz Yisrael or in Iran, where he was from. That's number one. There's no Chezkat Kihuna. He's not necessarily Ne'ema. Number two, the whole marrying the daughter of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother is itself a machloket, and perhaps it can be Mekel at this stage. Already they're engaged and ready to get married. B'di'avad, they already have a baby on the way. That would be grounds to permit it? And number three, who even says that this guy is a Kohen? After all, we don't really have any proof nowadays to anyone being a Kohen. We're just assuming that everyone who believes he's a Kohen is telling the truth and understands that, you know, is telling the truth. And he doesn't know any better, but that it is true. This is the opinion of the Maharashtam versus others of Shmuel de Madna, based on a Rivash, not for now. There are many shiurim on the internet that discuss the view of the Maharashtam, but suffice it to say, the debate is whether or not we assume Chazkat Kihuna, all the Kohanim nowadays are Kohanei Chazaka, that they are established Kohanim, and we cannot pierce the strongholds of their lineage. They're impenetrable, and that we cannot knock that down and perhaps question their status as Kohanim, or perhaps they're a Kohanei Safek. That was the opinion of the Maharashtam. And in certain situations, the Maharashtam was willing to be lenient and permit a Kohen to marry somebody who would otherwise be prohibited to him. But given the fact that he probably might not be a Kohen, or there is at least a small chance that he's not a Kohen, that would be sufficient to allow it to happen. Based on these three, Snifin Ovadia was ready to be Mekel. The problem is at the very end of the Teshuvah, as he just throws in a beautiful line that I think did more damage than good, but he wrote it, and miani to be mifakfek, but it gives me the opportunity to give you a shiur on the topic and hopefully fix what was wrong, but the wrong that was done. It's not really his fault, it was going on anyway, we'll see. Rav Adi writes at the very end, Gam safek gadol im hu be'emet kohen. Who even says the guy is a kohen? Lefimashin odalanu, from what we have been informed of, Shadavar Masui Bare Faras, that is common in the Persian cities. They had a big Toar Kohen Anashim Hamichubadim Benehem to give people who are of high stature the status, the title of Kohen. Whoa. Who says you're really a Kohen? Maybe it was an honorific given to the president of the community and it just passed down, but of course he never acted like a Kohen. Viesh Kaela. Some people, when they're sick, they're not feeling well, things are really looking bad for them, they take a neder, they promise that Shim Yakumu Mechol Yam, and if they get better, you Kohanim, Hashem, I promise I'll be a Kohen if I get better. That Rav Adya threw in as the extra cherry on top to permit this guy to marry this woman. It's funny, this concept. This idea that perhaps there are people, Kohanim in Iran, from Iran, whose fathers or grandfathers had pledged Kihuna, or been given the status of Kohen at one state or another, and therefore we can call into question the status of any Kohen in the community, is highly pretentious. It sounds almost like the classic American apocryphal story of the guy who comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I want to be a Kohen, how much does it cost? And he raises the ante up and up and up until the rabbi asks him, why do you want to be a Kohen so badly? And you want to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever it is. And he says, because my father was a Kohen and his father was a Kohen, so I also want to be a Kohen. It's very funny, the guy doesn't realize that Kihuna is patrilinear, unless he's a Chalal, or not even Jewish, depending on whom his father married. And that's why he's not a Kohen. Regardless, this is Iran. This is not America. America is a Treif Medina. Iran, Baruch Hashem, the Medina in Iran, the community in Iran, has been there since the Churban of Beit Rishon, 2,500 years. It's a little bit different, as we will see. You know, just a word on the Torah status of observance in Iran. You know, being a Shiite country, and the tremendous oppression that the Shiites gave to the Jews over the Sunnis, Iran, unlike many other Muslim countries, sufficiently handicapped its Jewish population from growing religiously to more than just simple pshutei am, who kept the Torah with timimut and sheket, that they didn't make big deals about things. They just kept the halacha as they were told and taught by their mothers and their fathers, and sometimes the rabbis that they had. Never produced big Talmidei Chachamim. Usually anyone who needed to learn went to Baghdad and came back. But there was a lot of spiritual, unfortunate poverty. People just kept the basics as they understood them, as it was taught to them. And they kept it in a firm way, but it wasn't always perfect, as we will see. And also I'll discuss later in the Shir on the Mashadis. So it's possible that these things could happen. You know, that someone could decide to become a Kohen Rav Nisim Davidi, who is the Dayan Misadr Gitin in Los Angeles for the KRCC, Rabbinical Council of California, he runs the Kashrut over there also, told me how his father, Chacham Uriel was the chief rabbi. I'm going to use a lot of names. If you feel like you're not getting them, so pause the recording and Google it. Chacham Uriel Davidi was the chief rabbi of Iran after the revolution in the 80s, and his father, Mola Meir Davidi, was once, and let's say in the 1920s or something, was once, you know, in a very faraway town visiting a distant relative in Iran, and he saw the guy get an aliyah at Shacharit in the morning, and he sees he got Kohen. He said, Folani, he says, so-and-so, Ma toife Davidi astin. We're descendants of the original Mola Davidi. Kohen nistin. We're not Kohanim. Why did you get Rishon? So he asked, so the relative responded to him. Sounds so much better in Farsi. I apologize. I can't help myself but to say it in Farsi first. That Bebin, Manu Adamin-ja, listen, I came here. Didamke Kohen Adoran. I saw they didn't have any Kohanim. I felt so bad for them. So then he became a Kohen for them. It's a funny story. Yes, there was once upon a time one Meshugana who decided to become a Kohen. And it's believable. And what's also very believable is that this story would be repeated between person to person, or similar such stories would be repeated as if it happened very often. And it's these stories that were flying around, floating around, that Rav Avadia heard. And he used it as an extra sniff lahakel. What I want to do today is to investigate further. Rav Avadia has his story, his psak l'maaseh, on what grounds he included this consideration about Persian Kohanim being any different than any other Kohanim, because they may have volunteered their kihuna. The ramifications that has had in halacha since Rav Avadia said it, and what I believe to be the response that is necessary to be said, lest it be taken too far. I'm not here to deny, but rather to clarify. And I think that this is a valuable use of our time as we explore Ibn Ezra this year in the Kollel and Yeshiva, and also to contribute to the grander Iranian halachic history, to make it clear what actually did happen, to what extent, and how much does it really matter, if at all. And I'm sure you can guess what my conclusion is going to be. So let's begin. Rav Avadia had his psak. There are those who said, who took Rav Avadia and similar stories and said, you know what? Rav Avadia used it as an extra sinif, an extra consideration, and to be lenient in certain circumstances. He's a Kohen. He's married. He's a man. He's married to a divorcee. He finds out that his father was a Kohen. He had no idea his whole life. And it turns out they're from Iran, and there was no Cheskat Kihuna anyway. They never observed anything anyway. So the chances are the guy's not a Kohen. So you know what? We can throw this in as an extra sinif as well. That's Rav Tzion Ba'aron does that at one point. There are those who are Rav Hanan Aflalo also. Rav Tzion Ba'aron also includes it in general. When you have a lot of other considerations, that this is also a consideration. And I'm sure there have been other rabbis who have done similarly, as we'll discuss one or two more. But, against Rav Avadia stood Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron. Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron was the Rishon LeZion 10 years after Chacham Avadia. First came Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, then Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron, then Rav Amar, and then Rav Yitzchak Yosef. So Rav Bachshi Doron, who passed away in 2020, Cholamot Pesach, was Persian. Bachsh means mechila, to forgive. I don't know where the Doron came from, but Rav Bachshi Doron wrote a teshuvah in Binyan Av, where he says how he went over to Rav Avadia and he said, mechila, you certainly do not mean this to, as a consideration to invalidate every single Persian Kohen in the world. You only mean it because the guy already didn't have a Chezkat Kehuna. He already didn't have a certain status of Kehuna. Certainly, that's not what you mean. And Rav Avadia agreed that a case where the guy already is acting as a Kohen his whole life, his family is acting as Kohanim. They do Birkat Kohanim, they get Rishon, they don't marry, they don't go to the cemetery, etc. Then that, of course, that guy is a Kohen. We're not calling him into question. Really only discussing the person who doesn't act like a Kohen at all. So that was pretty good. So that should have been enough. But unfortunately, there are other rabbis who went further than Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia was only using it as a snifla akel when the guy already didn't have a cheskat kiuna. There are other rabbis who went further, and they said that even a regular functioning religious Persian kohen, his status is at stake. His status is not clear. Rav Yitzchak Nisim, the Rishon LeZion before Chacham Avadia, who everyone thinks was Bavli, was Iraqi, is not really true. His father, Rav Rachamim, Rav Yitzchak Nisim's last name is really Rachamim, like his father's name, was from Iran, and he came to Baghdad. My guess is he came to go to yeshiva, and then he just, you know, married someone from Baghdad and stayed. But nevertheless, he told his son, Rav Yitzchak Nisim, that there was a problem in Iran, and that the Kohanim from Iran are not Kohanim. And Rav Yitzchak Nisim went around telling people, Persian Kohanim, that they should cease going up to the Dukhan to perform Birkat Kohanim. I've seen it in writing. Rav Achshi Doron writes this explicitly, and Rav Eliyahu Bar Shalom, as we'll discuss later, heard this from Rav Nisim himself. This is highly problematic. You already have a Cheskat Kiuna, and you're telling me to stop? There is a story that when Rav Nisim went to visit Iran, he was actually, you know, introduced to a Kohen who was married to a non-Jew. And she wanted to convert to Judaism, but she wouldn't be able to marry the guy. So he said, "The guy, you don't have a cheskat kehuna, so don't worry about it. You can marry this woman after she converts." Unfortunately, there weren't any details included as to what exactly considerations were, but that is recorded. Now, Rav Achshi says, Mechila mikvodo Rav Nisim, but he's wrong. We have cheskat kehuna bazman hazeh. We don't necessarily follow that Maharashtam so religiously. Me ani, I personally also have major issues with this Maharashtam. But Rav Avadia does love the Maharashtam. And as he got later and older and older, later in life, he even loved it even more and kept on using it all the time. This Maharashtam is really a wild card to keep in your pocket. It's pretty crazy. But Rav Achshi says, first of all, we don't necessarily have to assume like this Maharashtam about Cheskat Kihuna versus Safek Kihuna, that there is a really Kohane Safek nowadays. And he says, anyway, I looked around Yerushalayim, I did some research, I couldn't find a single person who could testify to me about this situation, about people who volunteered their Kihuna. I can't find anybody who says this. You know, find me someone. Yeah, you know, admit it, there were some people who received this honorary status. Yeah, and there might even be precedent for this in the Gemara, like by Rav Kahana, wasn't really a Kohen. But come on, that's so rare, and it wasn't only in Iran. These extreme cases don't create their own extra safek. They fall under the very same doubt that the Maharashtam raised, that the Kohanim nowadays might not actually be Kohanim. Because who knows what happened? Guess what? We know of a couple cases of who knows what happened, you know, that could have happened anywhere else also. And just because you found a couple of them doesn't mean that they define the entire community. They fit under the same exact general safek, the general doubt of maybe something happened to this guy's lineage along the way. He might not actually be a Kohen. Who knows? Yes, it's the same thing. It's not a separate doubt. It's not a sfik sfika. It's a single safek at best. So if you follow the halacha in that you have been following the halachot of kihuna, doing birkat kohanim, getting rishon, etc., perhaps truma. My grandmother told me that in Kashan, my grandmother should have an extra zechut for all the Torah she's taught me, in Kashan, she remembers as a girl, she is not na'amenet in this halacha, but she remembers that the kohanim used to go around on Friday and collect challah. Like the Rambam writes, Chutz La'aretz, said you can collect challah, like the Shulchan Aruch holds. They used to do this. That's called Cheskat Kehuna. Certainly, if a person's father and his brothers and his whole family acts like Kohanim, there's no one who is no Der Kihuna. This isn't a single father figure who received the honorary title and accidentally gave it to his children for a generation or two. We're talking about whole families, uncles and aunts and cousins and everybody who act like Kohanim. This is not a matter of honorary things or mistakes or nidarim of an individual. That they acted like Kohanim, it's because they had a lineage, they had a Mesorah, they had a Yuchus. That's why it happened. You know, a city like Shiraz is 80% Kohanim, I heard. Back then. It's because they acted like Kohanim. They were from city Chacham and Sion called Shiraz the Yerushalayim of Iran. It would be ridiculous to say that we're concerned that maybe someone in their lineage, you know, certainly in the recent history, you know, decided to become a Kohen. And to strengthen his point, Rav Bakshi brings a letter from the great rabbis of Iranian Jewry worldwide, when he wrote this, I guess in the 80s, or in the 90s, I'm not sure. Double check, probably the 90s. And the letter basically states that we know Iran. We are elderly rabbis, zikenei ha'eda. We lived many, many, many years in Iran. We know the community, and we never saw what you're talking about. Adiraba, adiraba. It's not that people wanted to become a Kohanim. The problem is the Gemara in Pesachim says that if Am Haaretz marries a Bat Kohen, is in major danger. It's dangerous to marry a Bat Kohen. Bat Kohen has special yichus. You have to marry a Talmid Chacham or another Kohen. To marry an Am Haaretz, major sakana. Either he's going to die first or she's going to die first. And that's also Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Siman Bet and Ebn Ezer, I think Siv Chet. I have to double check. But there were so, people, Persians didn't know so much Torah, but this they knew. This Gemara they knew. That you don't marry a Kohen if you're not Ravi Lekach. And in Iran, Ehteram Kohanim Cheri Cheri Bala Gereften. They were very serious about Kohani Yichus. And therefore, people would not seek the daughters of Kohanim. There was a major shidduch crisis. There were even Kohanim who struggled so much to marry off their daughters that they hid their kihuna to make sure that their daughters could get married. Otherwise, who's going to want to marry their daughters? I thought this was a joke. But then I started discussing this with my grandmother, and she literally told me the same thing. I discussed this with Rav Ben Chaim. He literally told me the same thing, Rav Eliyahu Ben Chaim. And the city of Yazd, Aruch Hashem, had a different situation. In addition to all the great Kohanim that we had, perhaps, say the rabbis, there was one family that kind of mistakenly became Kohanim. Because in Farsi, you don't say Kohain, certainly not, that's Ashki. Ashkenaz, say Kohen or Kuhen. Kuhen, a lot of the times. So, there's another word, Kohne, which means old, like stale, old. And there was a last name, Kohne Kalimi, which means old Jew, which was a way of a humble term to say, like, here's an old Jew. I don't know if it's stale is the right word in this context, but it means old Jew. It was a last name, and it's spelled Chaf Vav He Nun He, Kohne, Kaf in the beginning. So it's possible, they say, that over time it became Kohen Kalimi, and people mistook it for a name of Kohanim, a Jewish Kohen. But other than that, how many other families? That's one family in the entire Iran. And you have the story with Rabbi Davidi and maybe one other story here or there. You're creating a halacha based on a couple stories? What a mistake. What a mistake. It's not true. We were there. Wake up. Stop using this as a separate halacha as if it's a new suffix that was not encountered before. This is the same thing as the Marashtam at best. The Kohanim kept the halacha, especially those who kept their yahadut, bitziporneim, v'shineim, with their teeth and their nails, they fought to keep the Torah against the Shiite oppression. And you're just being motzi laz. How can you say this? The letter is signed, Mechacham Yedidia Shofet, who was the chief rabbi of Iran until the revolution, and then he moved to Los Angeles. Chacham Uriel Davidi, who was the chief rabbi in the 80s until he moved to Yerushalayim. Chacham Yitzchak Baal HaNes, who was the chief rabbi of Shiraz until he moved to into now in Brooklyn, Baruch Hashem. And a few others, Rabbi Zargari, Netanelli, Pinchasi. I myself am not familiar with all of the names. I'm too young to appreciate all of them. I recognize the last names, but there are different people in the families. But certainly, Chacham Yedidia, Chacham Uriel, Rabbi Yitzchak Baal HaNes, Chacham Uriel was not an Am HaAretz. He had a pure photographic memory. Rav Avadya gave a shiur one time, half an hour, and he literally was asked on the spot to translate it, and he translated it word for word for the half an hour. He had a beautiful photographic memory. He was not an Am HaAretz, Rabbi Chacham Uriel Davidi. Rabbi Yitzchak Baal HaNes learned in Porat Yosef, and then he came back to Iran to teach, to be a rabbi. These people knew halacha. These people are valid sources of testimony. It's not a joke. Don't mess with people's yichus when you don't know anything about what was going on there. My Rebbe Rav Eliyahu ben Chaim, who's the chief rabbi of the Meshadis today, he was in Iran for 3.5 years in the 70s before the revolution with the Meshadi community before he came with them to Queens and then to Great Neck, where he is Baruch Hashem, the chief rabbi still today. And he, Baruch Hashem, verified all of this for me. And I even met a Shirazi in Great Neck, Mr. Mernia, who told me how he remembers how when Rabbi Asher Baal HaNes came to Great Neck, you know, a decade or so ago, a couple decades ago, he actually had to convince people that it's a mitzvah to marry the daughter of a Kohen. You know, it's a mitzvah to marry them. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. So all in all, Rav Bakshi argued, Rav Adya, you agree with me. This only applies in very minute situation where there is no Cheskat Kiyona. Rav Adya, you should understand, we hold like not necessarily the Maharaj Shlam the way you go. And others like Rav Nisim, you have to understand that also. You're not right. And plus, we were there. We were there. It was Adarav. It was Hafuch. No one wanted to be a Kohen. Now that people started becoming Kohanim, it doesn't make any sense. Now, all of that said, I find it very difficult when people get up and say things that don't make sense. For example, in one sefer, there's a sefer, a psak, that was written by a great, great, great rabbi of our times. And he says that, listen, this is what Rav Adya says, and this is what Rav Bakshi says, and of course my father is right. What do you mean, of course your father is right? You didn't explain to me why he's right. You just said it. That doesn't really help me at all. What's even worse is one of my rabbis from afar, Rav Eliyahu Bar Shalom. Rav Eliyahu Bar Shalom is the chief rabbi of Bat Yam, and he's the author of a voluminous monograph, an 8-volume monograph called Mishpat HaKetubah, where he goes word for word through the Ketubah, discusses all the halachot with tremendous clarity in the footnotes and on top, of course, of the Ketubah. It's really a masterpiece. It's a beautiful contribution to Torah. And he is a Rosh Kolel. Okay. So, in Nishbar HaKetubah, he says over much of what we said already. He testifies, this is what Rav Nisim told him. I had a conversation with Rav Barshalom also over the phone about this. And he says how Chacham Enzion Abba Shaul was the Rosh Yeshiva Parat Yosef and one of the venerated sages, post-game of Persian Jewry, a Persian Israeli Sephardi Jewry, even told the Kohen, said in a public shiur, that Persian Kohanim should not go up to the Dukhan alone. Because, listen, it's a Safik, it shouldn't go alone. Okay. Then Rav Bar Shalom says how a certain Persian rabbi who's a Kohen verified for him a story in which this Persian rabbi was in shul one time and a Kohen who was part of that minyan for many years was not going up to the Dukhan anymore. So he asked him, Mr. So-and-so, why aren't you going up to the Dukhan? So the guy said, listen, 30 years ago I promised Hashem I'm going to be a Kohen for 30 years, and I just finished my 30 years. So he tells this story. And he has another story, says Rav Bar Shalom. Rav Bar Shalom says, in his eyes, we should be machmir. We should treat them like Kohanim in terms of giving them the Kavod, but we should also make sure that they should treat themselves as Kohanim. They can't marry a Girusha, they can't become Tamei Lemetim, but we should be careful. Don't use them for Pidyon HaBen. We should be Machmir. If you're already acting like a Kohen, so continue acting like a Kohen. But you should know that there's a big suffix here, says Rav Ar Shalom, and it's not so simple. And he tells a story of when he was saying this halacha, how Persian Kohanim might not be such good Kohanim. He was saying, he said everything we said so far, and his maskana is, it's good to be machmir, and depending on the situation, how firm the person was, that he was saying this in shul, and someone gets up and starts screaming at him. This is wrong, you're incorrect, you weren't there, whatever, all the stuff I'm saying, basically. And then, toch kedei, while this person is screaming and putting down the rabbi, of Eliyahu Bar Shalom, another person in the crowd gets up. And that person starts screaming at the first guy and saying, no, he's right! I didn't believe it, but my father told me the same thing, and I didn't believe him, but now I understand, he's right! So you see, it happened in Iran. Oh, only Iran, though, because Ratzvi Simantov, who is the leader of Afghani Jewry from Bnei Brak until he passed away recently, a couple of years ago, Ratzvi Simantov said they didn't have this in Afghanistan, which is nearby, to the east of Iran. And it's possible that in major cities like Yazd, where there's a strong Masorah, this didn't actually happen. So I don't understand this. I don't understand this. You know, if you read the New York Times, you read the local, silly Jewish news website, and you see a story about how some mamzer infiltrated the Klal Yisrael, or some situation happened where somebody married so-and-so but shouldn't have. You know, there was a mamzer was found in New Jersey, a real mamzer. Do we start thinking that every single person in New Jersey is a mamzer? It doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you draw such conclusions, such sweeping conclusions, create from Mishugayim? So these Persians are so simple. They don't know enough to be able to articulate halachic arguments in a cogent way. They didn't have the education that we have today. They had a very simple, traditional, beautiful upbringing full of Yirat Shamayim and Emunah Shelema in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tremendous Erlichkeit, Yashrut, of that they were raised with, the Derech Eretz that they were raised with. It's no joke, the Gemara says, that in Iran there was Derech Eretz. It's not. Unfortunately, they were not able to have the yeshiva education that you have today. But that doesn't mean you should call them into question. And then, unfortunately, because they were trained this way, they don't know any better, so they parrot whatever you tell them. If you tell them that, you might not be Kohanim, or maybe there was a story somebody had, and then it was repeated from one person to the other, it'll become part of the Mesorah. I can make you a list. I have a list of simple, stupid, uneducated, unintelligent mistakes that Persian grandmothers say. You know, there used to be a TV show, kids say the darnest things. Unfortunately, it hurts to say, but you have to know the reality that people are uneducated, and therefore you can't use them as proof for anything. For example, number one, when the Chatan goes on the day of his wedding to shul, and he sees the Torah, he can break his fast. It doesn't make any sense. When you get engaged with the Shir L'Ma'alot ceremony, which the Mashadis do, that's it. You can go on your honeymoon to Europe. It's okay to sleep together now. The longer it takes for you to achieve Tahara at the end of the Nida cycle, to push off the Shiva Nikim as far as you can, is a mitzvah. Certainly not a mitzvah. And so on and so forth, the list goes on. People are uneducated. You can't take everything they say as pure testimony in halacha. All the more so, when the rabbis who are educated, Talmidei Chachamim, some with photographic memories, who know it all, are telling you, Lo haya velo nivra. You are being motzi laz. You should have heard Rabbi Yitzchak Balanes when I called him on Sunday. Ina motzi laz. Javav eshener nade. Don't respond to them. It's beyond ridiculous that you should consider this to be any more of a suffix than, I don't have to say it, but look at Ebenezer Siman Zayin about how in Ashkenaz there were so many pogroms and people were sent from one place to the other. Who knows what happened to their yichus? Ostreich, the Ramah talks about from the Tirman Hadeshin. There's so many cases that you could start picking out in Jewish history. Why is Iran any different? It doesn't make any sense to do that. You can't build halachic arguments based on non-existent sveikot and then zero in on one community as if they exist only there. The rabbis are telling you it never happened. Why are you listening to simple balibatim, simple community members who are taking advantage of them? They don't know any better. And the rabbis aren't lying. The rabbis aren't trying to cover up. They'll be the first ones to tell you that there are problems, as they did in the same letter. And even my grandmother, who has taught me so much Torah, verified the reality here as well. This is mamash hafuch. Everyone's standing on the same camp, except for the rabbis who knew better, except for the rabbis who were there. This entire calculation of kuna is incorrect. Acharei hamichila rabba. Miani, but I have to say, it is not appropriate to call out a whole community, and even to float these stories as if they can create any halachic reality. They don't, so don't repeat them. It was a mistake, it's funny, it's silly, fine, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden we have to call into question every single Persian from every single city. Okay, except for Yaz, no, even the other ones. Mashhad was 300 years old. They know the families that came in. The Aziz family is a Miuchas family of 300 years. Finally, how many people do you know who are Kohanim can go back that far? Yeah, there's probably a few trees here and there, but seriously? Do you even know what you're talking about? You do, and you're still saying this. That's even worse. It's even worse. Rav Shmuel Choshkaraman is the Dayan Rosh Kollel, Masada Gittin in Atlanta. He also complains about this. He's taking advantage of the sweet Persians. They're simple, they're calm people. They don't raise their voices against the rabbi when the rabbi tells them something. They listen to the rabbi. They don't necessarily contradict him. And he even had a similar story about this with Mila, but not for now. Another point that Bar Shalom makes, I wanted to address, because unfortunately also needs addressing, is that of Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, who is a Persian Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, one of the venerated giants of Sephardic Jewry of the late 20th century. Chacham Ben Tzion was Persian on both his father's side and his mother's side. And as much as we love him, you tell me that he went around telling Kohanim that they shouldn't go up the Dukhan on their own. Maybe he said it in Shiur, maybe he didn't. Number one, Chacham Ben Tzion, as much as he was a Persian rabbi, lived in Yerushalayim his whole life. He visited Iran once in his life. And he's not entitled to an opinion. He's not familiar with the reality. It's bad enough Rav Nisim said what he said and did what he did. Now you want to add in Chacham Ben Tzion. First of all, he's not an Eman. Number two, he was in Shiraz. He called it the Yerushalayim of Iran. And to the best of my knowledge, he never complained about the Kohanim in Shiraz. Rabbi Yitzchak Balanes, who was the chief rabbi at the time, when Chacham Ben Tzion came, and Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Chaim, who was also in Iran when Chacham Ben Tzion came, they were both Talmidim of Chacham Ben Tzion. Neither of them remembers Chacham Ben Tzion or Chacham Ovadia ever saying a thing about Kehuna to the Persians. And Yerushalayim in that day, Prat Yosef in that day, was full of Persians. Rabbi Ben Chaim remembers, he learned in Prat Yosef in the 40s, 1940s, he remembers that Chacham Ben Tzion's class was full of Persian Kohanim, some of whom were even Shovavim, troublemakers. Chacham Ben Tzion didn't say, you guys aren't really Kohanim. He called them Kohanei Vayigash. This one is a Kohen Vayigash. Parashat Vayigash, Yosef takes everyone's land except for the Kohanim from the Mitzriim. makes fun of them. Oh, you like the Mitzrim in Parashat Vayigash, Kohen Vayigash. You didn't say anything about their taking away their status. He Adrava used their status. So, how dare you? How dare you bring Chacham Etzion into this? And number two, who even says that he said this? It could be Chacham Etzion's mind changed. I don't know. Or it could be he just made a mistake and said the wrong thing. Or he was misunderstood. I wasn't there. But if I were to weigh a shiur that he gave one time in Bnei Brak versus the years of testimony from people who knew him for decades, many, many, many decades, and experienced life with him in situations so close to home to that matter in this situation, they're so close to our issue at hand, I think I take them over him. On top of all of that, so one way or another, I was introduced to Rabbi Uri Kohen Pesar Zadeh. He's a Yazdi Mashkiach in Yeshivat Porat Yosef in the Geula branch today. I spoke with him on the phone the other day here, and he told me this amazing story. He had a friend who wanted to be Mekayim Mitzvot of Matan Kihuna. He bought a lamb for himself, and or a goat, whatever it was, for himself, and he wanted to be Mekayim Hazirah V'Alachayim V'Akeva. So he needed a Kohen, so he asked Rav Uri, who was living in Beitar at the time, I guess the friend lived in Beitar also, to be the Kohen for the Matanot Kihuna. So Rav Uri said, listen, I'm Persian, there's a suffix about my Kihuna, maybe I shouldn't, maybe you should find a different Kohen. And the guy said, no, I want you to be the Kohen. He said, really? Come on, like, I don't want to be the Kohen. He said, no, I want you. So you know what, let's go ask Chacham Ben Sion and see what he says. So he went to Poet Yosef. They found Chacham Ben Sion on the steps of the yeshiva, and they asked him, what do you think? Should I be the Kohen for the Pidyon or not? So Chacham Ben Sion got angry. He said, you're denigrating yourself, your kihuna. How do you do Birkat Kohenim every day? Isn't it also suffik? What are you doing? He didn't even think it was a suffik. You act as a Kohen, you're a Kohen. And guess what? Most Persian Kohanim act as Kohanim. So how dare you say? Blow this whole thing up into such a big deal. From that time on, says Rav Uri Kohen, Pesar Zadeh, he began doing Pidyon HaBen frequently. And at one point, he did Pidyon for the daughter, for the secretary, Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron, firstborn. And at the Pidyon, Rav Bachshi Doron was there, and Rav Uri told him the story, and he was so happy, he said he wished that he had told him earlier. Rav Bachshi would have included this story in his teshuvah. So, certainly, I think I have enough eyewitness testimony, first-hand testimony, both passive testimony and active testimony, that Chacham Ben Sion never, ever said this or believed this to be true in practice. And even if he did, it doesn't really matter. So it's not worth bringing it up. Rav Nisim is bad enough, and he's wrong. Me, I need to say it, but everyone else said it. I'm just following up. Rav Nisim also didn't live in Iran. He lives in Baghdad. So it's not really valuable enough. Finally, I'm certainly not obfuscating or obviating the truth that it did happen. It did happen. It's very, 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 very seldom that people who weren't Kohanim somehow had the title of Kohen and or their name was misconstrued to be Kohen. In fact, Harav Baruch Shraga, who is a Yazdi Dayan living in Yerushalayim today, from the Or Shraga family, from the family of Mola Or Shraga from Yazd, I spoke with him on the phone briefly. He was busy. He did not have the time to discuss with me at great length and explain, but he told me, if you have a cheskas kehuna, you're good. And all Kohanim have a cheskas kehuna, except he said it, he added a funny line I'd never heard before, except for those who we know have the name Kohen but are not really Kohanim. I said, what? You know people like that? He said, yes. He knows three families in Yerushalayim whose name is Kohen, but they're not really Kohanim, And they know this also, that they're not Kohanim. There are two of them from Yaz and one from somewhere else. Other than them, all Kohanim are Ksherim and Bnei Chazaka. They ain't lefakfek b'ayin klal. There's no reason to cast aspersions upon them at all. Yes, it happened sometimes. I'm saying now. It happened sometimes. Three families! Ribono Shel Olam, three families! Enough of this, ridiculous. People should use this as Snifim Lahakel. They read the Abiya Omer, they take it as if it's for real. They read other Svarim, they take it as if it's a real sniff. It's not, it's a nothing. It's bad enough it was used as a sniff. It's bad enough it was used as a sniff. But Chas V'Shalom to blow it up into more. You may be thinking, why am I making such a big deal about this? It's hard, it hurts. I was on the phone with Rav Bar Shalom and I had a hard conversation with him about why he really takes this so seriously. It's bad enough. People took it bad. Took it this far. It should be clear. Yiratzon, that we should fulfill the bracha of Moshe Batzri, whom I spent some time with working on this topic with, and he was able to help me get through Rav Pesher Zadeh, that we should succeed in removing the stain from the lineage, the Shtar Yichus, of the Persian Jewry, and be zoche to keep our Kohanim rising up to the platform to bless us every single day. They may not be Nevi'im, but they are B'nai Kohanim. And Ezrat Hashem, despite these dispersions, they should continue raising their arms and giving us their Beracha B'Kedushato Shel Aharon, and one day do so as they serve us in the Beit HaMikdash, when Eliyahu Navi comes and shows how indeed this is all true. Amen v'amen.